My name is Greg. I'm the lead pastor at High Point Church, and very grateful that you're here this morning. And Matt, thanks for those songs and the theology in those songs, and lifting up the name of Christ, making him exactly where he needs to be, and the awe that we should have for our Lord, our Savior, is amazing. And thank you, Matt. I just am so grateful for that. Though my voice is not very grateful because I'm a horrible singer and I so badly want to sing so loud. So, man, grateful for that. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 12 as we continue our series in the Gospel of John and John's Gospel and the title series, What is the Truth? What is the truth of who Jesus says He is? And the result of who Jesus says He is, how it changes your life. And this morning we're going to read in John chapter 12, not necessarily a doctrinal teaching of who Jesus is and the belief of who Jesus says He is, but really a reflection of what you believe or who you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so this message really is going to be tailored towards that reflection, that awe that you in this audience would have if you know Christ as your Savior. So with that in mind, follow along with me in the Gospel of John chapter 12. If you have your bulletins, just grab those. But follow along with me as I read. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus, therefore, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with a fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was the ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Now he said this not because he cared about the poor, because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bags, he used it to help himself, that which was put into it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Leave her alone, so that she may keep it. For the day of my burial, for the poor you will always have, but you will not always have me." When the large crowd and the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on the account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And so the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on the account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Father, thank you for this time now that I get a chance to proclaim your truth from the words of God. And I ask that the Holy Spirit would lead the very words that come out of my mouth, that you would change the words and make them better so that the hearers, so that myself would be changed as a result of your word and the awe of Jesus Christ. God, thank you for this time that we can spend together in Jesus' name. So, I usually come up with some sort of a funny introduction. Maybe it's not always funny, but try to get you plugged into the verses. And, what I was trying to think is, how can I demonstrate to High Point Church an awe of God, an awe of Jesus Christ, that you're just in awe? And I'm thinking, I really can't display that other than through God's Word. So I want you to hang on for a little bit. Sometimes this can be a little bit tough, but I'm going to share a lot of verses with you today. I believe that salvation comes through the words and hearing from Jesus Christ. And so as you listen to these words, let them penetrate you as you follow along with me. But I want you to listen to these verses, would you? As I want you to hear the awe that these prophets had of God, that these apostles had of God, these disciples had of God. And it's in the Word of God. And so I'm going to start with a couple of the prophets of old, whether it was Isaiah back in 700 B.C. or Ezekiel in about 600 B.C. Both of these prophets described in the Word of God an awe for God. They were in the presence of God. And being in that presence demonstrated an awe. And so in Ezekiel 1:28, listen to this. This is Ezekiel describing his vision and the appearance of God in front of him. He says, like the appearance of a bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face. And I heard the voice of one speaking. They were in awe. Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 8. And really, you can read all of Ezekiel chapter 1 and see how Ezekiel describes the awe of God. In Isaiah 6, chapter 1 through 8, we're not going to go through it all, but I want you to know that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw a vision of the Lord. And instantly, I think it's in verse 6, Isaiah says, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. And the Lord eventually took a piece of coal and put it on his tongue and eventually asked Isaiah, well, who can I send? And immediately Isaiah says, send me, Lord. I am in awe of you. In the New Testament, we see Peter, James, and John at the Mount of Transfiguration. And they saw the glory of Jesus revealed to them. And in verses 5 and 6, we see this. He was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. That's the glory. That's the kind of glory. And a voice of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces. In Acts chapter 9, we read about Paul. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Whenever you see and feel the presence of God, you are in awe. And our own John, the writer of the gospel that we are walking through verse by verse in Revelation chapter 1, specifically, I think it's in verse 17. Just follow, go all the way to verse 17. This is my last verse. The next one, I believe. No, that's it. Go back. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I was dead. Do you see the awe? I can't come up with an illustration other than from the very words of God that anytime you're in the presence of the Lord, you're at his feet. And you're in awe of Jesus Christ. And this morning in our passage John chapter 12, we see really a picture of two people's responses. And really, I just want to focus on two people's responses. Mary and Judas. And I'm going to bring in a little bit of at the end where the Jews responded to this. But this morning, I want you to get a picture of having an awe of God. As we come here on a Sunday, we should leave here with such an awe of Jesus Christ that it causes us to be, not necessarily physically, but maybe, but definitely spiritually, at his feet in awe. So we come to the dinner. We see Martha's there. We see Mary's there. Lazarus and disciples. And in the context, if you remember back in John 11, Jesus was off in Ephraim in a wilderness. He had stopped his public ministry in a sense and was now focusing primarily with his disciples. This is 6 days before Jesus would be crucified for the sins of man. And he rose from the dead as he would raise himself up in victory over death. 6 days. Now, I would like to say we're going to be done here with John 20, but these next 6 days is basically chapters 12 all the way down to 20. But this dinner here is in honor of Jesus. Some of the other Gospels in Matthew and Mark say that this was at the Simon the leper's house, that Martha was serving and Mary and Lazarus was there, and they were at Simon the leper's house. Now, you would not go to a leper's house unless he was cured. So Simon was no longer a leper, but this dinner, no doubt, was Simon's appreciation of what Jesus had done for him. And not only that, but Mary and Martha and Lazarus were there, again, demonstrating a thankfulness to Jesus. So they had a dinner with him. Now, there's a lot of details that John brings up. And you got to remember this, that John wrote this book by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit 60 years later from when this time took place. And look at the details of this. John never forgot this day. As he saw Mary and Judas demonstrate an awe or lack of awe for the Savior. You know, as I studied this passage, I kept being drawn to Mary's reaction and Judas's reaction. See, Mary gets it, doesn't she? Her attitude, her reaction was that of someone that knows they are in the presence of God. Jesus, the God-man. And it led to her anointing Jesus. See, Mary got it. She was in awe. And because of that awe, her attitude changed. You know, see this from this passage, what I'm going to try and demonstrate is, and this isn't an exhaustive study, but what I see is, and the result of what Mary went through, is that when you have an awe of God, your attitude changes. The very attitude that you have changes when you're in awe of God. Mary was in awe of God. And so three things I just want to illustrate from Mary in this passage, that you yourselves, High Point Church, myself included, I ask myself, when I'm in awe of God, are my actions reflective of that? You know, the title of this message is Check Your Attitude. Check your attitude. Because if you're in awe of God, your attitude changes. And so let's look at Mary. Starting in verse 2, it says this. So they gave a dinner. They gave a dinner for Jesus. The first thing that I see as far as an attitude in that of person that is in awe of Jesus Christ, in awe of what God has done, the first thing I see is an attitude of gratefulness. High Point Church, do we have such an awe for God that it leads us to be grateful? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. Give thanks. The word thanks there in the Greek means to actively show your gratefulness. That's what it means to be thankful. It doesn't just mean say thank you. It means actively show that you are grateful. Mary demonstrated an act of gratefulness. She demonstrated by hosting a dinner and then subsequently placing oil on Jesus' feet. She was grateful. So grateful. You know, I'm so thankful for our church, High Point Church. You know, my wife and I, you know the story. We've been going through, just loss of a child, things like that, and people would just call us and offer, dinners. We could be literally eating dinners and not have to cook for a long time. Now, I love my wife's cooking, but you guys cook great. And so I could really live off your guys' cooking for quite a while. So keep it coming if you need to. Scotcheroos, remember the whole peanut? Yes, okay. Just wanted to make sure you guys are aware of those. But let me tell you, I'm so grateful for our church. This church demonstrates gratefulness. The gratefulness that you have in awe of God leads to an active pursuit of helping other people in need. You don't just do that on your own accord. You do it because you're in awe of what God has done for you. And it leads to an active pursuit of helping other people. I'm thankful this church is grateful. And we demonstrate that. Hebrews 12:28 says this: "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." The word gratitude there is a word for merciful kindness. It literally means you don't deserve it. You don't deserve the grace of God, but it leads you to be so in awe that you are lending out mercy to other people because you have been given mercy by God. The first thing that I see from Mary in her awe of God is she was grateful. High Point Church, are we grateful? The second thing I see, starting in verse 3, Mary therefore took a pound of an expensive ointment made of pure nard and anointed Jesus' feet. Now, I don't know a lot about perfume, and I couldn't tell you what the most expensive perfume is, okay? I'm just going to go out there and say Chanel number 9, okay? I think that's an expensive perfume, am I right, honey? You don't have it. It's not, is it? Chanel number 5? Whatever. Obviously, I've never bought this perfume. She smells great the way she is. I was trying to compare this, but I guess John does a very good job of doing the illustration himself. You got to understand what Mary took in the sense of taking a pound of an expensive ointment. Judas says he could have sold it for 300 denarii. How does that illustrate in money in terms of where we're at today? Well, basically, it was one denarii is one day's wage. So Mary took a year's worth of wages and dumped it on Jesus' feet. The second thing I see with someone who's in awe in the presence of God is they are selfless. She could have sold that perfume for years' worth of money. She was selfless. She was in the presence of God. Paul says it in Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up." You see, when you have an awe of Jesus Christ, when you're in the presence of God, it leads to a selfless attitude. Someone that is looking to someone else instead of themselves. Mary demonstrated selflessness. And when you're in the presence of God, you are always at the feet of God. Verse 3 says this. Well, continuing on, verse 3. She took the oil and poured it on him, put it on his feet, and she wiped it with her hair. Now, ladies, I keep bringing you guys up because this is Mary, so it's a lady. I can't relate. But I got to tell you, some of you ladies probably spend a lot of money on your hair, right? Can I get an amen? Guys, do they spend a lot? No, don't amen that. Don't amen that. But she took her hair. Now, understand, in the Jewish custom, it was appropriate to wash the feet of guests. Very appropriate. We're going to get to John 13, and when Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, I can't wait till we get there. But Mary, being in the presence of God, in awe of God, took it to another level. She took her very hair that had highlights. It was colored the seasonal color of fall. And number 3, she humbled herself. When you're in awe of God, your attitude changes. You become grateful. You become selfless. And ultimately, you become humble. Guys, we can't relate. Because I could care less about my hair, obviously. Guys, would you turn to your, well, don't turn, but think. There's a person to your right, there's a person to your left. Would you wash their feet right now? It's pretty humbling when you do something like that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says this. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, High Point, when we have an awe of God, when we're in the presence of God, Jesus Christ, our attitude changes. Now, in talking with my brother in Christ, Zach, he made a point, and I agree. And I want to articulate it. You told me not to mention he said it, but sorry. I'm up here, you're over there. See, when you are positionally, that's a good theological term, but what it means, though, if you are positionally in Christ, it means you have trusted Christ as your Savior. You have, God the Father has drawn you to repentance and forgiveness, and you have trusted Jesus as your Lord. For the forgiveness of your sins, you are positionally saved. No one can take that away from you. Not even your sin that you do on a regular basis. And so what you need to understand, and why I bring that up, is because when I bring up these 3 points, an attitude that is in awe of God, a selfless, humble, grateful attitude, this is not a list. This is not a list that you earn credit from God that somehow He is pleased with you when you have this attitude, when you display this attitude. I mention these as a list because it should be a reflection of our obedience to what God has done for us. This should be our attitude. This should be our obedience. So when I say the message is check your attitude, God will not take your position away in Christ if you're a stinker. Yeah, that's a Zach word. If you know Zach, he likes the word stinker. High Point Church, if you know Christ, you could be the biggest stinker. And Christ has forgiven you. You can be the biggest stinker of a Christian. And Christ has forgiven you. So it's not about being selfless, grateful, humble, so that God would be pleased with you. He's already pleased with you because you accepted His Son. And positionally, God will never take that away. So as we look at this all of Christ, what I'm saying is, does our attitude reflect our awe? Even saying that Jesus, even though we are stinkers on a daily basis, should cause you to be in awe of what Jesus did for you. And in turn, lead to a grateful, selfless, humble attitude. Now, let's look at Judas quickly. Let's look at an attitude not honoring to Christ. We see Judas in verse 5 says this, "Why was this anointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" That sounds like a great question, Judas. The other gospel says that the disciples even said, "Yeah, why didn't we just sell this for 300? What is she doing?" Makes sense, doesn't it? So the first thing, the attitude not honoring to God is, number one, your heart, your attitude is always critical. Always critical. You make record of wrongs in people's lives. Constantly calculating the cost of something and whether it benefits you, and if it doesn't, it's an avenue for you to be critical. That's an attitude not honoring to Christ. Verse 6 says he would actually steal that money. He wasn't, see, Jesus knew the attitude of Judas. Judas wasn't concerned about the poor. He was concerned about himself. Because as John illustrated, because he knew some 60 years later that Judas was stealing. So the second attitude that's not honoring to Christ, you ready? It's one that is selfish. You know, it's interesting. We can get on Judas here. But all the disciples agreed with him. It makes me think that sometimes, even in our best advice, God knows the heart by which we are offering it. That should make you in awe of Christ. And then thirdly, another attitude not honoring of God is a heart is sinful. Your attitude is constantly plotting sin. Look at verses 10 and 11. So the chief priests made plans. That word carries the meaning of deliberating, counseling, taking our time, thinking of ways in which we can get him. And kill Lazarus as well. Interesting enough, God raised Lazarus from the dead and they were going to kill him. Sinful actions make no sense sometimes, do they? But the point is, an attitude not honoring God is constantly plotting sinful intentions. Okay, so High Point, what do? Is it just a matter of me telling you need to have a positive attitude, High Point? Don't have a negative attitude. Positive attitude wins. And let's go out there and win some for the Gipper. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to have a positive attitude. Well, if you know anything about my preaching or anything about God's Word, I'm not going to give you a 5-step program on how to be positive. Because it makes no difference What I want to teach, High Point, is what God is teaching me. Is that when I have an awe of God, when I have an awe of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross in 2001, when I trusted Him as Savior for my sinful lifestyle of drug dealing and sexual sin and fake ID making, that I am in awe of what Jesus does and did, that my life changes. And so as I illustrate in Mary and Judas, I'm not telling you how to do something. What I'm doing is pointing you to the one who did do something. And that was Jesus. And when High Point, we have a bigger awe for Jesus, your attitude will change. The reflection of your heart will change. You will become grateful. You will become selfless. You will become humble because Jesus is your example. I'm not your example. No one in this room is your example. Jesus is your example. He is gracious to us. Romans 5:8 says that while we were sinning, Christ died for us. He is selfless. He said, "Not my will be done." Romans 15:3 says this, "For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me." In other words, Jesus says, I'll take it all. I'll take it all. He was selfless, is selfless, and he is humble. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 says this, "But made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So church at High Point, look to Jesus Christ and you will demonstrate a God-honoring attitude because you're in awe of what Jesus did. So High Point, check your attitude. Spend some time assessing how in awe are you of Jesus Christ. And some of you here have never experienced what Ezekiel or Isaiah or Peter and James and John or Paul or the writer of the Gospel of John, John the Apostle, because you've never accepted Christ and the gift of salvation that He offers you. You've never been in awe of what Jesus has done because you've never received the gift that He offers. He died for your sins, for your past, your present, and your future sins. And He sits at the throne. Behold our God seated on the throne. That's why you sing that song, and it leads you to awe. And for some of you, it should lead you to your knees in repentance. That you still think you're going to heaven based on your good works, based on your righteousness. And I'm here to tell you, you are not righteous. You are not righteous. Jesus is. And you need to place your trust in Him alone. And you will have an awe of God like never before. So we're going to spend some time now. Matt's going to come up and I'm going to let him strum and do his thing. So here's what I want for an application wise for you, High Point Church. I got this idea that what we can do is, how can I see my attitude? How can I see my attitude reflect? Yeah, I can ask my wife, how's my attitude been? And she'll be honest with me. She'll be telling me, are you in awe of God, Greg? Is it leading to these things because of what Jesus has done? So here's the idea. Those of you who have Facebook, okay? I want you to look back of the last 6 months of your posts. Think back of the last 6 months of what you're posting on Facebook and ask yourself, are you demonstrating an attitude of gratefulness, humbleness, and selflessness? Are you demonstrating an awe of God through what you display to other people? I was convicted by that thought. I wish God wouldn't have put that in my head. But because of that social media, it's become such an important tool to demonstrate where every one of you guys are at and where I'm at. I'm thankful for it because it gives me a chance now to reflect on my attitude that I demonstrate to the people that I'm trying to tell about Jesus. Am I telling them I'm in awe of my Savior? Or am I telling them how much I hate my life and how much I complain about what I have and what I don't have? Instead of demonstrating an awe for what God has given me, which is salvation in Christ. Are you in awe of that this morning? Mary demonstrated her awe for Christ. Judas demonstrated he had no awe for who God was. How could two people be so different? If you're in Christ, you know. And by God's grace and His glory, we as a church will demonstrate an awe for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time. And even as we spend a little bit of time reflecting, Lord, again, this isn't a self-help. Lord, that You're teaching us about having an awe for You. Not because of anything in us can awe You, but because You have given us the Holy Spirit that teaches us. He teaches us everything that Jesus did. So Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to have the attitude that is honoring of God, so that You receive all the glory. Holy Spirit, please help us. Learn everything of what Jesus did and taught so that we might give You awe. Thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. And God, I pray for that person who's out there right now listening to this message who has never received You. May the Spirit of God be so thick on them that they cannot leave here without confessing their need for You. And that their lives might demonstrate an awe for You. So it'd be for Your glory. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. Or no, please sit and reflect.